on his mother's, and 5 cousins. They've all been notified. I can't guarantee they'd call it in if he contacts any of them, but it's tough to believe they'd help the man who killed their child, their sister, their brother. Blood ties run deep, Rourke commented. Yeah, maybe. I can't cover them all on what we've got. Some of them live in and around New York, some don't. All we can do there is keep in contact, keep pushing. His hand brushed hers on the table. You're worried he'll hurt someone else. I think if somebody gets in his way or doesn't give him what he wants, yeah. If he goes looking for safe haven or more money and doesn't get it, has the opportunity, he'd kill again. But, I just don't think he'll hit on family, or not until the money runs dry or the heat's too hot. He doesn't think of family. That's my gut feeling, anyway. He thinks of obstacles to his happiness or success. People holding him back or giving him orders. If and when, I think the grandparents first. I think he'd consider them weaker, more apt to help him. The out-of-town sets coming into New York, and he doesn't have any way to know that, so he won't find them at home, not for the next few days. My observations been much of police work is grunt work, drudgery, covering the same ground again and again, countless hours of interviews, writing or generating reports, and terrifying times of extreme risk, furious action, split-second decisions, and finite planning. You've been dealing primarily with the first today. They should give me a medal for that, she muttered. When he just smiled, poured more champagne, she shifted. I'm getting one. A medal. That's lovely. Congratulations. It's a big one. I don't mean, she held her hands out to indicate big size. It's a big deal one. Medal of Honor. That's for... I know what it's for, what it means. He reached for her hand, held it, and her eyes. There's no higher honor in your world. It's more than deserved, more than earned. They could keep the medal and give me a bigger budget. He lifted her hand to his lips. I'm so proud of you, and so amused at your discomfort and being recognized for your dedication and skill. Amused? Here's another funny for you. You're getting a medal, too. He dropped her hand. What? I'm a civilian, as you continually remind me. The Civilian Medal of Merit, and they don't give them out like candy, pal, especially to shady characters. I don't think it's appropriate. She loved it, just loved it, when he turned all dignified. Oh, it is, and now I get to be amused. You're the one who started sticking his nose in, then his whole body. Now you're going to have to stand up there on Wednesday afternoon, 1400, so put that in your book, and take what you get. And I'm pretty damn proud of you, too, so suck it up. Aren't we a pair? Christ, the abuse I'll take over this, my old mates. A bloody medal. The department values you, and it should. So we're having champagne and this really tasty lobster before I get back in gear. She took another drink. And there's this other thing. More than double murders, assholes, and medals. Yeah, more than that. Whitney called me in to tell me about the medals and to ask me if I wanted captain. Eve! This time his hand vised on hers. That's called burying the lead and burying it deep, Eve, he said again, and started to rise. I said I didn't. Sorry, he said again. What? I said I didn't want the bars. Are you gone in the head? She narrowed her eyes. Is that Irish for stupid? Crazy's more accurate. Baffled annoyance rode over his face. Why in bloody hell wouldn't you want it? It's a major promotion, an accomplishment. I understand the discomfort over the medal. You see yourself as doing your job, and you neither need nor want some fancy piece pinned on you for it. But a captaincy? Christ Jesus, Eve. It's your career. It's what you are. More than that. And we both know he'd have offered it to you before this but for me. No, not because of you. Because of me. I made my choice. Whatever you think, it was my choice. I chose you. And if the brass played politics with that, that was their choice. Now they'll give me a medal and they've opened a door for you. Why aren't you walking through it? Bloody dancing through it. No reason for you to be pissed about it. I'm not pissed so much as gobsmacked. Why did you turn it down? I can't give up what I have, she said simply. I'm not ready. Maybe I'll never be. I'm a cop. I have to be a cop. How do captains' bars change that? They'd take me out of the field. Right now, someone else would be looking for Jerry Reinhold, not me. They'd put distance and space between me and my men because I wouldn't be their direct supervisor. I'd spend more time, most of the time, in meetings, with paperwork, making administrative decisions, and only what I could eke out actually doing the job I'm good at. She took a long breath when he said nothing. I need to be a cop, a good cop, more than I need the rank. And I knew that today, without any question at all, when offered the bars. When he still didn't speak, she shrugged. I probably broke a marriage rule not talking with you about this first, but it's yours, he interrupted. It's your work. I don't talk with you about the deals I make, what I buy, sell, develop. What you deal and wield doesn't, usually anyway, put you on the line. I understand it would be easier on you if I took this. It would. If you're meaning I'd worry less. But I married you. I made a choice. And like you, I took you for what you are, not what I'd turn you into. I wanted it once. A lot. Maybe even too much. I wanted it when the job wasn't just what I did or who I am, but all I had. That's not true anymore. And I'm a better cop because of that. I need to catch the bad guys, Rourke. And I need to walk into the bullpen every day and see the team I've helped make working to do the same. When I weigh that against the bars, there's no contest. All right, then. And that's it? Lieutenant, I can't argue with truth. I'll say I'm happy, very, they offered it to you. You can say it was your choice, and that's true enough as well. But being with me was a block to this, and now it's not. So I'll take the medal and suck it up. Okay. She let out a long breath. I love you. And I love you. But I can't eat the souffle thing on tap for dessert. Souffle? Quite the 5-star meal. Why don't we have a bit of a break from it, and we can enjoy it a little later, in your office while we work? She grinned at him. I made a really good choice. Oh, that you did. He took her hand, pulled her with him to her feet. You'd be a good captain. Maybe, down the road. Yeah, okay. I would. She made him smile. Whatever your rank, darling Eve, you'll always be my cop. That works for me. Let's go down then. I've got to deal with all this stuff. Somerset will see to it. Even better. I just want to stop off, get into work clothes. He smiled to himself. We'll just detour to the bedroom first then. I wouldn't mind getting out of this suit. Chapter 7. Eve towed off her shoes as soon as she stepped into the bedroom. She considered bare feet an indulgence reserved for private areas of home or the beach. Maybe just setting up a board here, fresh, will shake something loose. Could be. She pulled off her sweater, while Rourke shed his jacket and tie. According to the timeline, he stowed the two suitcases after he left the shuttle station. The hotel transpo dropped him there. Following his cover, he was traveling to Miami. Then he doubled back, but I haven't been able to track down his transpo from the station. Maybe he stayed on foot, but it's more likely he caught a cab or bus. Might he have secured the suitcases at the station with the plan to go back after he collected the money, then take a shuttle to some other destination? It doesn't fly for me. He had all the valuables to sell, and we know he started that process after the banking. So he doubled back, had another hole to crawl into, stowed the suitcases there while he hit the banks so he didn't have to drag them around. I'd like his transportation method back to the banks, just to have a clearer picture. She wriggled out of the pants and, standing in her underwear, started to open a drawer for a t-shirt and jeans. Bus is smarter, but... He cut her off by spinning her around, yanking her in and taking her mouth. Hot, lusty, possessive, and lightly edged with humor. When she managed to grab a breath, she attempted a quick shove. Hey! He just took her mouth again, spun her again, twice, and toward the bed. She considered putting up a fight for form's sake, but just wriggled back enough to scowl at him. I'm working. Not yet. And you're mostly naked. Such a fine look on you. One of my favorites. Then why is that closet full of clothes? Because being an understanding sort, I appreciate your insistence on being fully dressed in public. He gripped her hips, boosted her up so he could carry her onto the platform where the bed spread like a blue lagoon. Then he tipped so they fell back on it with her pinned under him. Just because we postpone souffle doesn't mean we can't enjoy a bite of dessert now. To prove it, he closed his teeth over her jaw. And you're what I've a taste for. Sex, sex, sex. If you insist. His mouth claimed hers again, muffling the laugh she'd tried to hold back. What the hell, she thought. He was mostly naked, too. She grabbed his exceptional ass, gave it a hard squeeze. You better make it good. I'm always up for a challenge. You're always up. And to prove that, she slid her hands around between them and found him. The next hard squeeze brought on a moan, had him shifting his teeth to her throat. How quickly he could make her need, each time, every time. No matter how familiar, this sweep of feelings always struck as new and overwhelming. The weight of his body, the shape of it, the demands of his clever mouth and skilled hands never failed to make her want and want and revel in knowing she could have. She let the hunger and the greed with it, the whippy storm of sensations, all the sudden heat, the wonderful aches, invade. She let them conquer, and gathering them, turned them back to him. She gave, and she took. Everything he needed to have, everything he wanted to give in return. Wrapped around him, possessing as he possessed, she met every demand, made her own. He knew the rhythms of her body and all the secret places to exploit, to seduce, to inflame. Yet she remained a fascination and glorious surprise to him, a constant gift for body and soul. The way her hands wound through and gripped his hair when he fed from her breast, aroused as much from that firm curve, that silky skin. Subtle as the beat of butterfly wings, her quick rippling tremors, the catch of her breath at his touch added a keen and lusty edge. The arch of her body, so lithe, so ready. The pounding drum of her heartbeat under his lips told him she needed, wanted, as urgently now as he. He pleased himself, riding his hands along skin, smooth and warm, over tough and disciplined muscle. Delighted himself with the long, supple length of her. His warrior. His wife. And when his mouth came back to hers, when hers clung to his, fever hot, that pleasure, that delight spiked beyond reason. Wet and hot he found her, and drove her up and up, swallowing her gasps and cries like a man starving. When she broke beneath him, he didn't relent, couldn't, stroking those fires until she thrashed under him. Now, now, inside me, you! When she bowed up, quivering, he thrust inside her, hard and deep. Now, she thought again, her breath sobbing, her hands groping. The quaking shook down to her core, shuddered toward her heart as they rode each other. The mating, fast and furious, ruled them both, carved all else away. Again she thought, you, you! And when she broke this time, he broke with her. She lay absorbing the aftershocks of her body and of his. She remembered she'd thought, before Rourke, sex was a basic, sometimes complicated, method of release. After Rourke, that didn't start to cover it. Even now, after fast, crazed sex, his lips brushed lightly over her shoulder. Just a simple and incredible sign of affection. Those moments, she realized, meant the world to her. In answer, she trailed her fingers down his back. Then, because they were who they were, pinched his ass sharply. Bloody hell, he muttered. Off, pal. You had your bite of dessert. Big, greedy bite. You did as well. Yeah. Not bad. She grinned at him when he lifted his head, then tugged on his hair, nipped up for a quick kiss. Not bad at all. Now I've got to go work it off. Fair enough. He shifted, then pulled her up to sit, stroked a hand over her hair. Thank you for a lovely and thoughtful dinner. And dessert. And dessert. How many pizzas do you figure it offsets? Perhaps I can generate a pie chart, he said as they rolled out of bed. Ha ha, pie chart. You're a funny guy. I want a quick shower after that bout. An excellent idea. He only sighed when she narrowed her eyes at him. Sex, sex, sex. Do you think of nothing else? Yeah, you're a funny guy. And a well-satisfied one. So you'll have to settle for only the shower. After giving her a light pat on the ass, he strolled into the bath ahead of her. She was in and out of the jets within five, and tossed on clothes after a quick spin in the drying tube. Every bit as nimble as she, he walked with her to her office. Board first, I imagine. Yeah, I want the visual. While you're at that, I'll start the search for possible accounts. He's no financial genius or comp geek, from what you've said, but there's plenty of suggestions and instructions for burying funds right on the internet. He smiled at her. And those are child's play to dig out again. Go ahead and play. She set up her board, changing the patterns so she had a different method than the one in her office. She added the timeline, the reports, paced around it. added more. Then she focused on Jerry Reinhold. "Who are you, really?" she asked aloud. "Talk to the friends again?" she wondered. "Give that a harder push?" He didn't strike her as someone who'd live in a vacuum. Didn't he need someone to bitch to brag to? More, she thought as she circled the board again. He'd never accomplished anything real in his life. He might see that differently, and likely considered it everyone else's fault, but from the steps, the stages, the images of him leaving the building, in the bank, in the jewelry shop, he felt very accomplished now. Wouldn't he want some kudos? From strangers, she considered. How did you brag to your pals you killed your parents, brutally, and were hiding from the police? Maybe a pickup at a bar, she considered. Or maybe hire a fancy licensed companion for the night. Couldn't tell them you're a killer, she murmured. But you could brag about making some killer deal, being some big shot, hitting some jackpot. That seems your style. The LC seemed more in line. Sure, you had to pay, but that put you in charge. You were already the big deal. Would he want or need sex? No evidence or indication he'd pursued that area since the breakup. But sex was another kind of celebration, another way for a man to prove his potency. Maybe she'd consult on that with Charles Monroe, friend, former LC, and current sex therapist. She checked the time, decided it was still plenty early enough, and crossed to her desk. Her link signaled even as she reached for it. She noted Peabody on the readout, answered. Yeah, what?
Hey, I wanted to update you. McNabb and I went by Nuccio's place on the way home. I sent you a quick report.
I haven't gotten to my incomings yet. Not with semi-date dinners and dessert sex.
Yeah, I saw you hadn't picked it up. She wasn't home yet, and the neighbor, Crabtree, came out. She's keeping an eye out for her. Even left a note on Nuccio's door when she went out to run a few errands. Took it off when she came back.
Okay, we'll hit her tomorrow. On the link screen, Peabody's face mirrored concern.
The thing is, McNabb had this idea how we might track down her shopping buddy, getting the names of her co-workers, mining them, spreading out from them.
If that's what you want to do.
Did do, Peabody told her. It seemed worth a shot just to nail her down, and we hit. She went out with a Casey Ryder. I just finished talking to her, to Ryder. They were going to make a night of it, hit some clubs, but one of their mutual friends tagged Casey with the news about Reinhold.
So Nuccio knows. A thread of concern wove its way into Eve.
Yeah, major freakout. Denial, disbelief, then depression from Nuccio. They cut the night short, and Ryder insisted on taking a cab with Nuccio to her apartment, dropped her off at about 6:40, which means McNabb and I didn't miss her by much. I got her new link number, but she's not answering. And I figured, since you didn't update the file yet, she hasn't contacted you either.
No, she hasn't. And she'd had over 3 hours to come through. Maybe the neighbor didn't hear her come in.
I don't think so, Dallas. She was a Hawkeye.
Okay. She probably doesn't want to deal with cops tonight. Eve turned back to the board, shifted, evaluated her own gut. But she's going to. I'm going to go on down there now.
I'm closer if you want me and McNabb to go.
No, I'll do it. If she's going to be squeezed into dealing with a cop, let's make it rank. I'll let you know. Thanks for the heads up.
No problem. But, Dallas, it just doesn't feel right.
I don't see her letting him in, or him getting by the Hawkeye neighbor if he tried. I'll get back to you. But no, she thought as she clicked off. It didn't feel right. She strode directly to Rourke's office where he manned his desk, his hair tied back in work mode. I've got to go downtown.
To Central?
No, to the ex-girlfriend's. Word is she's been home for about 3 hours and hasn't contacted me or Peabody. She's either avoiding that or something's wrong. I want to check.
Well, then, I'm with you.
He gave his computer the order to continue the search on auto, Rose. I need to get my weapon and badge.
And boots,
he added, gesturing to her bare feet. Armed and shod, she let him take the wheel, particularly since he'd called around some sleek, sexy two-seater.
It's new, he told her. I haven't really had it out for a good run as yet.
It smelled like leather, a weakness of hers, and the dash held enough gauges to outfit an off-planet shuttle.
How many of these do you have?
One more now, he said, and all but flew to the gates and through. I didn't say we were going in hot.
It's good to take her through her paces.
He zipped to vertical, soared over a snake of traffic. And I've a cop with me, should the locals object.
You're worried, he added.
She's probably just playing mole.
Ostrich, but it comes to the same.
Then why are you worried?
She dumped him, kicked him out, after he stole from her and reportedly gave her a couple slaps.
But she doesn't take the opportunity to talk to the cops when she finds out he's committed double murder?
I got the sense she was pretty sensible, responsible, and her neighbor would have pushed it.
So I don't like it.
Would she have let him in?
Don't see it. In her mind, Eve turned it over, around, inside out.
No, I just don't see it.
And a friend dropped her off in a cab, watched her go inside. The neighbor would have pounced the minute she got up there, so I'm probably wasting time. I could interview her tomorrow.
I trust your instincts.
He punched it.
Or you're looking to break the land and air records.
She liked speed, but liked it more when she was at the wheel. But she didn't tell him to slow down, and felt some relief when he oiled the car into a tiny street-level space less than half a block from the entrance to the building. She scanned the street as she stepped onto the sidewalk. Too early for troublemakers in this kind of neighborhood, she judged, but the shiny red toy on the curb could bring them out.
That sitting there saying, "Please steal me."
It has a sadistic streak, so as it says that, it's aware it's fully shielded and armed.
Good thing.
She walked to the entrance, started to buzz Nuccio's apartment, changed her mind.
Don't want her to know you're on your way up? Rourke asked when she used her master for access.
Not exactly.
You are worried.
Bad feelings sticking. Let's take the stairs. Her fingers danced lightly over her weapon as they climbed.
Are you shielded and armed like your latest toy?
Always. She could hear the throbs from entertainment screens and someone's bright laughter before a door cut it to a muffle. She nodded at Nuccio's door, stepped to it, pressed the buzzer. The locks remained engaged. The peep remained shielded. She buzzed twice more, then banged on the door with the side of her fist.
Lori Nuccio, this is the NYPSD. We need to speak to you.
The doors stayed shut. The one across the hall opened.
You're back.
Yeah. Miss Crabtree, do you know if Ms. Nuccio's in?
Yeah, she got home about 6:45. Thereabouts, anyway. I gave her your card.
Her gaze shifted over to Rourke as she spoke, and Eve saw the look in Crabtree's eyes she'd seen in a variety of women's eyes when they got an up-close load of him. She thought of it as a kind of ocular sigh.
Anyway,
I figured you'd come by before this or wait until tomorrow. She didn't contact me. Damn it. Crabtree's gaze zipped back to Eve. She said she would. She was pretty upset. Wouldn't let me fix her tea or anything. Just wanted to be alone and quiet, she said. I guess she needs to brood some. She's not answering. I didn't hear her go out. The elevator makes a racket, but she could have taken the stairs. She didn't look like she wanted to do anything but hunker down. Maybe she took a sleeping pill. I'm going to access this apartment. I don't have a warrant, but wait, I don't think that's right. She wouldn't like that. Then she should have contacted me, Eve thought. I'm concerned for her welfare. I'm accessing it. Eve nodded at Rourke, then shifted to block Crabtree's objections and view while he picked the locks. She's just hunkered down, Crabtree insisted. You can't just walk into her place like this. It's not right. Then you can file a complaint. Done, Rourke murmured. Eve turned. Record on. Though her fingers itched for her weapon, she simply opened the door, called out. Lori Nucho, this is the NYPSD. We're entering this apartment. She barely crossed the threshold when she smelled it. Blood and death. Even as she cleared her weapon, Rourke did the same with his own. Lights on full, she ordered. You stay back, she snapped at Crabtree. Stay back! She swung left first, then straight ahead, and she could see the death on the bed behind the colorful beaded curtain. Clear it, she ordered, moving fast through a space small enough to see almost every corner. And behind her, Crabtree let out a choked scream. I need you to stay back. I need you to go inside your apartment. But, Rourke, Miss Crabtree, you need to come with me now. She was weeping as he drew her out and leaning against him when he closed the door behind them. Eve holstered her weapon, moved to the curtain. More than rage here. This was payback, too, and he had taken some time with it. Rage, revenge, a need to humiliate, to engender fear. No, not in a vacuum, she thought. Not in LC or a pickup at a bar. He'd found just who he'd wanted to brag to, show off to. Victim is Caucasian female, early 20s, reddish hair, blue eyes. She's been bound, ankles and wrists, with cord, more cord wound around her torso. She's gagged with tape. Her clothes have been removed except for shoes. They're new. Soles are unscuffed. Facial bruises, cuts indicate blows, more bruising on the abdomen, along ribs most likely from more blows. Blood around the cord, evidence of struggle. Her hair's been chopped off. A lot of hair scattered on the bed, the floor. Cord around Vic's neck, evidence of strangulation. He tied it in a nice fucking bow. She recorded the room, the ruined clothes, waiting, knowing Rourke would bring her field kit. And waiting, contacted Peabody. He got to her.
What? Shit, what?
I'm standing in Nucho's apartment looking at her body. Get here and call it in.
On my way. Damn it, Dallas.
Yeah. Clicking off, she stepped back, studied the apartment. She saw the debris of food, containers, bottles on a tiny table. More littering the kitchen counter. No comp again, she noted. Easiest thing in the world to liquidate. She walked back to the door, studied the locks. No sign of forced entry, as Rourke never left any, and no sign of any recent lock change she could see. They'd check on that. Did he give back his keys? What kind of idiot didn't demand the return of keys at a breakup? But he might have copied them. Had she been so trusting or naive she hadn't considered that? Maybe. Maybe. Rourke came back in, handed her the field kit. I don't think she let him in. I don't see her doing that. And if he came banging on the door or trying to wheedle his way in, Crabtree would have heard it. I'll see if the locks have been compromised. Probably not. I don't think he's got those skills. But he could have had copies of her keys. He copied them when things got iffy between them, just a backup. He came in when she was out, nice and quiet. Maybe even, probably, when the neighbor was out. Maybe watched the building a while. But he came in and he waited for her. He had what he wanted to use. The cord, the tape. Not impulse or crazy rage, not on this. She opened the kit, took out the sealant. You couldn't have stopped it. You can always stop it. Go left instead of right, forward instead of back, move 10 minutes sooner or later. I didn't stop him. And I didn't see this in him. Not this calculation. Not this need. He made her suffer. She handed him the sealant and took the kit through the colorful curtains. She stepped to the bed, took out her identipad first. Victim is identified as Lori Nucho of this address, age 23. Lists her hair as brown. She must have changed it, not corrected the data as yet. She leaned close. A little dried blood. Carefully, she tipped the head to the side. Back of the head. He was waiting, and he struck her from behind, knocked her down, out. It gave him time to tie her up, gag her. Fucking coward. She picked up a broken capsule with tweezers, sniffed. To wake her up, she said, and as Rourke offered an evidence bag, dropped it in. You could go through her bag there, see if he took her wallet, check for her keys, her link. Saying nothing, he picked up the handbag on the floor. The cord's tight, Eve said. It cut into her. He wanted that. Wanted to give her pain as well as fear. No wallet, he said. No link or notebook, no PPC. Her keys here. Took whatever money she had in there. Electronics. Her ankles are tied together. No visible bruising on her thighs. I don't think he raped her. He wasn't interested, or he can't get it up. No, wasn't interested, she decided, trying to see inside him. If he'd thought about it, he'd have used something to rape her with. It just didn't occur to him. He's not especially sexual, or doesn't see rape or sex as a weapon of power. Not yet. Why remove her clothing? To humiliate, to terrify. She's completely vulnerable. He whacked her hair for the same reason. It dehumanizes her. Make her nothing, Eve thought. She knew the type who wanted to make someone nothing. Her father had been the same. He punched her, hard, more than once. In the face, in the stomach. It's more personal than his parents. Or maybe he just had more time and space. Experimenting? She'd been shopping, so he dumped the new stuff, destroyed it. With her gauge, she measured time of death. 1955. He took just over an hour with her. Risky, but he enjoyed it so much. Little cut here on her throat. Maybe he had a knife. Threatened her, scared her, but he didn't really cut her. Strangulation's more personal. And you get to watch them suffer and die face to face. She's very young, Rourke said quietly. She's as old as she'll ever be. A cruel statement, Rourke thought, unless you knew his cop and heard the bitter anger under the words. No jewelry, Eve added. I bet she was wearing some. Out with the girl pal? Yeah, she had some on. He took it, whether it's worth anything or not. She doesn't get to keep it. Kick me out, bitch? You're gonna pay for that. Tell me to get a job? Tell me to get the hell out? Fuck you! Why the shoes? Sexy. It's a porn thing, right? Naked woman in high, sexy heels? Kind of slutty? She bought them today, probably. Pissed him off. She's so goddamn worried about the rent, about money. She whines about him blowing off some steam with his friends in Vegas. But she goes out, spends Christ knows on all this crap. Selfish bitch. She paused, just for a moment, just one brief moment, as that bitter anger Rourke heard wanted to spew. And it couldn't be allowed. The shoesmaker looked cheap, like she's asking for it. He's not going to give it to her. But when we find her, she's going to look cheap and used, and her hair, she had that done today, I think. New color and style from her ID shot. Now it's ruined and hacked. Bruised right nipple. Pinched it, probably. Humiliate, humiliate. You humiliated me, now it's your turn. She examined the hands as she spoke, moved down the body, checking for more wounds, anything left behind. He tells her what he did to his parents. She's the first one he's been able to talk to about it, brag to. She's safe because he's going to kill her, but he gets to crow about what he's done, how he's got a big pile of money and she's got nothing. She is nothing. Eve stepped out to examine the rest of the crime scene. Rourke stayed where he was a moment longer. You're not nothing, he thought. She's standing for you now, and she won't stop. You're hers now, so you matter. He wished he could cover her, but knew better. Instead, he went on to do what he could to help until Peabody arrived. Chapter 8. Eve studied the skinny bathroom, the still damp towels on the floor, the pair of black boxers tossed in the corner. He got off on it, probably while he strangled her. Didn't rape her, but killing her, watching her die, feeling all that, popped his fucking cork. Surprised him, I bet. Wasn't expecting the sexual side benefit, so he came in his pants. Doesn't give enough of a shit to take them. Just leaves them. Leaves the towels after he cleans himself up. She met Rourke's eyes in the mirror over the sink. He's a child. Throwing stuff on the floor, and I'm betting those boxers are new. Something he just bought, but he discards them. More, he doesn't care about the DNA. It's fine that we know he killed her. He wants credit for what he managed to do. She started to mark the towels and boxers for the sweepers. I'll do that, Rourke told her. I misjudged him. Why do you say that? I thought he had what he wanted. But killing his parents, taking everything he could from them, it showed him what he could do, what he could have. Now he wants more. She stepped out, turned when Peabody came in, McNabb right behind her. Uniforms on the way to secure, Peabody began. She paused, looked through the opening where Rourke had tied the beads up and back. Jesus, he messed her up. I've got this. We need to alert everyone he might have a grudge against. His friends, former employers, co-workers, his grandparents. Do you think he'll try for one of them? I didn't think he'd try for the ex-girlfriend, Eve said flatly. I was wrong. She's dead. Impress he's killed again, but don't ID the Vic. I want all of them secured. I'm all over it. I can check her electronics, McNabb offered. He took her comp and link. No door security or cams, no house link, so she must have only used a pocket. I haven't looked for any other electronics yet. I find any, I'll pass them to you. I can knock on doors for now. He wore a long, and she bet billowy, orange coat over cherry red pants and a many-color striped tee. She saw the cup under it, but most wouldn't. That would save time, thanks, but for Christ's sake, show your badge so they don't take you for an escapee from the circus. He grinned at her, then took it out of one of a multitude of pockets, hooked it on the neck of his shirt before he went out. No one tampered with the locks before me, Rourke reminded her. So he had keys, or made copies. She kept her tips, saved them. She's had some time to start stockpiling more since he wiped her out. I didn't see anything out in plain sight. Maybe she hides them. I'll have a look. Appreciate it. I need to—
Uniforms heading up,
Peabody informed her, sticking her head in the door. Have one of them sit on Crabtree. Get her statement. I want to know exactly when she left the building, where she went, when she came back, as close as she can nail it.
Done.
I want to talk to Mira. Now, Eve said to Rourke. I need a better handle on this guy, and I need it before he decides to kill anybody else. She turned to the uniform waiting in the doorway. Detective McNabb started the knock on doors. Coordinate with him. Get the photo of the suspect from Detective Peabody. I want the building covered, then hit the street and cover the block. I want to talk to anybody who saw him. She pulled out her link, moved off to a corner, and tagged Mira. Dr. Mira, I'm sorry to disturb you at home.
It's fine, Eve. Do you need to change our consult time for tomorrow?
Yeah, I need it now. He got to the ex-girlfriend.
I see.
Indications are he gained access to her apartment while she was out, lay in wait. He brought tools with him. Tape, cord, a knife. Eve began to run through the basics.
I'd like to see the body, the scene.
I've recorded it. I can send it to you now.
No, I think it would be better if I came to you.
Weird, Eve thought, and foolish. This initial knee-jerk reluctance to have Mira see firsthand the death, the blood, the ugliness of it. Mira hadn't reached her level by being squeamish or needing to be shielded. It would help, but
I have the address from your report. I'll be there shortly.
Thanks. I'll have you cleared through. She pocketed her link as she went to the door and ordered the uniform securing the apartment to clear Dr. Mira. When she turned back, she caught Rourke's glance.
I'll wager she's seen worse, he said.
Yeah, there's always worse.
There's an empty jar here.
He held up a pale blue jar with some sort of flower embossed on it. Just tossed among the rubble, I imagine, was his doing in the kitchen. I'd say he cleaned her out again and ate and drank his way through her stock. She stepped over to the kitchen, programmed the tiny auto chef for its log. Yeah, had some pizza nibs about 15 minutes after TOD, swarmed through her cupboards. Soy chips, cheesy twists, empty wine bottle, empty Coke tube, snack food. Got the hungries on after he killed her. She went back in her head to the first crime scene. Same deal at his parents' apartment. He grazed through the food. Ate his way through the manor, too, when he stayed there. Killing sharpens his appetite. If he keeps it up, you'll be rolling him into a cell. That made her smile a little. He emptied out her tips, took her wallet, her link, poked around for whatever else he could find of use, packed up, cleaned himself up, then walked right out with a goddamn spring in his step. She held up a hand as the first of the sweepers arrived. Stay out of the bedroom and away from the body for now. Moving over, she gave them more detailed instructions, let them by.
I contacted everyone. Peabody edged back in the room. Gold's heading over to his parents. He freaked, and now he's afraid Reinhold might go after them. I caught asshole Joe at some club. He did seem moderately surprised, but not especially upset or uneasy.
He lives up to his name.
Oh, yeah. I also contacted Dave Hildebrand, former employers and supervisors from this past year. I tagged Casey Ryder, too. I thought maybe Reinhold knew her, knew she was tight with the Vic and might want to pay her a visit.
That's good thinking.
She's a wreck, Dallas. I went ahead, called in a grief counselor and a female officer. We'll probably need to talk to her at some point, but she'll feel safer in the meantime.
Good.
She's been trying the Vic on the new link since McNabb and I tracked her down and says it just bounced to V-mail.
He took it.
We haven't found it on scene, haven't heard its signal. Brand new link. He figured he'd get a few extra bucks out of it. I'll add it to the alert. McNabb's got a wit on the ground floor. He saw the suspect come in. He doesn't know him or the Vic, but he's seen them, given them the nod. Being used to seeing him and not knowing he wasn't supposed to be here, the wit just gave him the nod and went on into his own place.
Time?
He saw Reinhold come in about 5, take the stairs. He didn't see him go out again. Crabtree said she'd gone out to run some errands about that time and was back here by about 4:15.
No coincidence. He'd been watching the building, working out how to get in and up without anyone who knew about the breakup spotting him.
Or maybe he was just watching for the Vic, then took the opportunity to slither in when Crabtree left.
15-minute window, Peabody commented. He hit some luck on that.
And we didn't, Eve thought. I want the uniforms to check out any place across the street or close enough where he could have waited it out. Relay that. Talk to the wit again.
Mira's coming in, and I need to be here when she gets here.
Coming in here?
Peabody glanced toward the body, winced.
For whatever reason, it made Eve feel less foolish to know Peabody had the same reaction she'd had herself. She's seen DBs before.
Yeah.
I'll relay to the uniforms and go talk to the wit.
No link on the premises, as you thought.
Rourke stepped up beside her.
I ran a quick check on her financials to see where she used her cards today, so you can follow her steps. I sent the list to you.
I can use that.
Did he try any siphoning that you can see?
No, not as yet. But he may, as he has her comp. EDD can watch for that easily enough.
Maybe we'll catch a break, and he'll be just that stupid.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I have to go into Central when I'm done here. You should go home, get some sleep.
I'll see what pieces I can pick at around here, and leave when you do. I've sent for your vehicle, so it'll be here for you when you're ready.
You're pretty handy.
Just consider it all part of our non-date date night.
She managed a smile that faded when she spotted Mira.
Thanks for coming down.
It wasn't a problem. Rourke?
Apparently, Mira didn't consider the cheek kiss she and Rourke exchanged before he helped her off with her coat unprofessional behavior at a crime scene. Mira wasn't in one of her pretty, stylish suits and ankle breakers. Instead, she wore slim, dark pants with a steel blue sweater and short gray boots that looked soft as melting butter. Her mink brown hair fluffed around her attractive face, and her lovely blue eyes stayed cool and assessing as they scanned the scene.
I saw Peabody downstairs, and she helped me seal up. Am I cleared to examine the body?
Yeah, you're clear.
Eve went with her, rattling off basic information. Age, name, TOD, COD.
I haven't found whatever he used to knock her out. He may have taken it with him, may have brought it with him. He likes a baseball bat, and the injury may indicate that. Morris will know.
Yes, I'm sure. He brought the tape, the cord, you said.
Yeah, he prepped for it.
Planned rather than impulse. More like his father than his mother, but different than that, too. He didn't just want to kill her, destroy her. He wanted to hurt her, terrorize her, humiliate her. And I imagine you've concluded the same.
Yeah, but it's good to have the opinion. Cutting her hair this way. There's a meanness there, a small-minded one, from one who understands what a woman's hair means to her.
Yes, I agree.
I'm pretty sure she'd just gotten it done, changed the color and style.
Ah, even more so. She isn't allowed to look attractive. I see no overt signs of sexual abuse, but for this bruise on her right nipple.
He came in his pants, left his boxers in the bathroom after he cleaned up. Mira nodded.
The killing aroused him, or the torture. Both would have. He left evidence of that as well as his DNA behind. He wants you to know he's a man. Not gender, but a man, you understand me?
Okay, yeah.
He struck her, primarily the face. To hurt her, to mark her, to feel the power of it. Shopping bags. She'd been shopping.
Yeah, I figure he dumped the stuff out, tore it up.
She can't have anything. And he'd have done that before he killed her. Hurting her again. New shoes. Wearing them so she looks pornographic, perhaps.
That's my take.
The strangulation, face to face. That's intimacy. The bow he's tied there, that's small-minded again, mean again. Eve, I think he took some of her hair.
Why do you think that?
I don't want to touch anything, but you see the length of some of these hanks he cut off? I think there should be more hair. Your sweepers will confirm that if I'm right.
So he took something of her. A trophy. I didn't see anything like that at the first scene. Maybe I missed it.
I doubt it. She meant more to him than they did. They were just in the way, an annoyance, and dead, a means to an end.
That's how I saw it, Eve agreed.
She was more important than that. He slept with her in this bed, had sex with her in this bed. And she denied him, rejected him, sent him like a little boy back to his parents. And she shops for new things, gets new hair. No, that would never do. So young,
Mira said quietly, and moved back to the living room. If you're done in there, I want to let the sweepers get started and bring the morgue team in.
Yes, I've seen enough there. Did he do this?
She gestured to the little kitchen area. Yeah, he ate after. At least some of it after. He used the auto chef after TOD. Eve signaled the sweepers.
Junk food. Fun food. Party food. His little celebration, all the more enjoyable as she's dead so close by.
Did he take anything else? Her wallet, her tip money, her comp, her new link. That's all I'm sure of for now. Probably some jewelry. I think, out shopping with the girl pal, getting new hair and stuff, she'd have had on some earrings, maybe a couple of other pieces.
I agree. She's a young woman, a waitress, so it's doubtful, unless she had a family piece, she had anything particularly valuable.
Watching Mira wander, Eve felt it build up. I screwed up. Calm and assessing, Mira looked back.
Why do you think that?
I never figured he'd go after anyone else, and not this fast, unless in flight or for survival, or possibly if they refused to help him. But I never saw this.
I don't know how you could have, or why you would have. Coming here, doing this? It's risky, and it's calculated. His other killings weren't. They were, first, impulse, then opportunity. Even with that, you tried to reach her several times. Circumstances prevented it.
I had the wrong handle on him. He'd never shown particularly violent behavior before, or ambition, or calculation. Killing his mother, that was impulse, then blind rage.
Yes.
Then his father, hours later. Rage again, but some glee in there. And the cold-blooded ability to stay in that apartment, first waiting for his father, making plans, then with both of them dead by his hand while he completed the plans. He ate, slept, plotted, with their bodies only a few feet away.
He felt nothing, Mira said. He's a sociopath, a narcissist. He believes everything revolves around him and his needs, or that it should. He uses projection bias to shift blame and responsibility to others. He believes this and feels no guilt or remorse for his behavior, nor any need to change.
He did change, Eve argued, when he picked up the knife and put it into his mother.
Escalated, Mira corrected, broke through the restraints. And it was her own fault.
Eve shoved a hand through her hair, nodded. Okay. And I saw it as they're out of his way. He has a conduit to the money, a way to live like a king for the short term. Just what he wanted. No guilt or remorse, I got that. It was more like glee. But killing his parents, did it kill something in him? That tiny spark of conscience, humanity, the need to be a part of the whole?
I think seeing what he did here, what he enjoyed doing here, no, it didn't kill a part of him. It freed a part of him he'd suppressed, and likely suppressed out of fear of punishment. A part of him he may not have been truly or fully aware of until freed. He's found himself.
Sorry to interrupt, Peabody walked in, holding a takeout tray. Rourke sent this in. That's tea for you, Dr. Mira, on the front corner. Coffee for you, Dallas, back corner, and coffee regular for me. Rourke's down with McNabb at this 24/7 cafe across the street. The waiter recognized the suspect. They're checking out street-level security disks. Good, that's good.
As is this. Mira sipped her tea. It's my favorite. How does he do that?
Eve shrugged. I've stopped asking that question.
Is it all right to sit a moment?
Go ahead, Eve told her. I can't yet.
I can. 2 minutes,
Peabody said quickly, and lowered onto one of the padded crates.
He's validated, Mira went on as she sat. All those menial jobs he was pushed or forced into, never meant to be. He always knew it. Now he's proven it. All the bosses who demanded he work by their rules, short-sighted, stupid, or out to make him less because they saw he was so much more. He's killed 3 people, and he's walking free. You know who he is, but you can't stop him. He just proved that with this last kill. He has money now, true freedom now, true self now.
He'll need to kill again.
Definitely. His sexual reaction to this kill adds yet another level of that need. Killing rewards him.
Someone he knows? A stranger won't give him that same rush, at least not this soon.
Agreed. And knowing his victim, knowing that victim has always underestimated him, considered him less, has even hurt or insulted him in some way, is only part of it.
Yes. She could see into him now, into the dark corners of him. Payback's the other. His parents held him back, shoved him, nagged him, threatened him, and were on the point of booting him. She already had. He's got plenty of others he'd see the same way.
A long list of slights, opportunities to prove himself, opportunities for the thrill and release and the gain, the reward.
We've contacted everyone we know at this point. Eve glanced at Peabody. Former employers, Peabody confirmed. Co-workers, family members, friends.
There'll be more, Eve said. Some neighbor who gave him lip or grief. A teacher or instructor. Even a freaking waitress, a clerk.
Mira enjoyed her tea.
I absolutely agree. He'll attempt to work his way through anyone who made him feel less of a man, who slighted him or rejected him.
We've got his name and face plastered everywhere now. He has to know that. He has to change his look.
He was wearing a suit, Peabody said. I asked the wit what Reinhold was wearing. At first he said he didn't notice, but I worked on him a little, and he remembered, because he said he'd never seen Reinhold in one before, that he was wearing a suit.